Welcome everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have two fantastic guests joining us today. Returning to our show once again, we have the creator and performer as well as resident artist with our company today, Clara Francesca. And we are so excited to welcome on for the first time the creator and associate artistic director with the theater company, Leo Lyon. They're both here to talk to us about Phoenix Theater Ensemble's presentation of Metamorphosis. It's playing May 7th through the 12th at Kafka Tech at Studio Exhibit Photography Studios, which is at 62 Orchard Street on the second floor. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting phoenixtheaterensemble.org. We are so thrilled to be bringing you this new imaginative iteration of this classic Greek story. So with that, let us welcome our guests. Clara, welcome back. Leo, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you for having us, Andrew. Great to be here.
I am so happy you're both here. I'm so excited to be talking about this great show, Metamorphosis. So Leo, as one of the co-creators and associate artistic director at Phoenix Theater Ensemble, can you tell us a little bit about Metamorphosis?
Sure. So this show is an adaptation of Franz Kafka's legendary sort of short story novella. People call it different types of word for a large literary work, but it's a medium-sized story that he wrote about a man who turns into an insect suddenly one day upon waking up. It's, you know, done the circles in literature classes and English classes, etc., all around the world, and is a really sort of contemporary fairy tale in many ways. And our production of Metamorphosis is a new adaptation of that text, which places it in focus of an immersive, embodied experience where the audience is actually stepping into the shoes of a transformed human turned insect in certain ways through the lens of a corporate sort of spa retreat. So for people who are interested in immersive experiential storytelling, things like Sleep No More, or if you're a video game buff, or if you're interested in augmented and virtual reality, it's that world meets a sort of sinister corporate spa retreat world, meets trying to finally extract the thing inside of you that makes it difficult for you to do your job and serve others.
I want to say I love that, but I'm not a bug guy. So I'm like, but the story, I love the story. I do. This is fantastic.
The big disclaimer we have to do is that no one is being exposed to any live insects. And I would even say that as an insectophobe myself, we are at no point seeking to trigger the audience's fear or revulsion to actual insects. We've made the show, I would say, altogether quite safe for people who are squeamish around bugs. We do, you know, represent insects at times in a removed way. There's a lot of talk about them, so if that makes people uncomfortable, that could be tricky. But on the whole, if you're an insectophobe, if anything, I think this show will be a nice exposure to you in certain ways.
I love it. This is not Fear Factor we're getting into, so that's fantastic. Well, Clara, let me bring you on now. You are not only one of the co-creators, but you're the resident artist and a performer in the piece. Where did you come up with the idea to create this new work?
Yeah, Leo might need to fact check me, but I first began my experience with Franz Kafka's Metamorphosis in 2014 when, separate to Phoenix Theater Company, I just migrated to America and I was training with City Company, and then I got offered a job with some of Anne Bogart's graduate Columbia director students, and Gabe Garcia Colombo, who was a professor at NYU ITP Tisch, and Benita DeWitt, who was one of his Columbia graduates, hired me to embody Franz Kafka in an imagining of Metamorphosis, which we got to do at the New York Public Library in 2014. I was dressed up in a suit. I was embodying Franz, and audience members came to the library, filled out a questionnaire. The librarian told you which forbidden book you would be best suited for. One of the forbidden books was Metamorphosis. And then when I was given my assigned person, I would jump out, take them to the library spot where the book was shelved, and enact this mini one-on-one performance for them. In this performance, Gabe and Benita gave me a briefcase, and inside the briefcase was a real-life entomologist and animal-protected cockroach inside of a jar. And I would pull this jar out, and yes, we have facial expressions coming at me. I would pull this jar out and perform with the bug. The bug went home with an entomologist that night who cares for them, so it was all safe and good. But what was fascinating to me was the different reactions that audience members had to this bug. As Leo said, we don't have any live bugs at all in our performance. But I was sharing this story with Leo, I want to say 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, Leo, fact check me on that. And yeah, and as we were sharing this, Leo and I really, really wanted to devise a piece together that would be both immersive and an embodying experience, along with audio files. And I had just finished reading or listening to a lot of audio style books that were in German and Russian with this really sensual sort of ASMR tone to it. And I was really obsessed with that. And then Leo was like, let's do a metamorphosis, audio physical theater, immersive embodying experience where we use Kafka's Metamorphosis. Yes, said I. So that's an origin story of this piece.
Wow. I'm not pro bug here, but that is a fascinating tale of how the piece came about. That's incredible.
It's been a great little journey. We got to do a little workshop, really, really little workshop of it last year. So Phoenix Theater Ensemble is a 20-year company founded by, among others, Elise Stone and Craig Smith, who operate also the Live Arts and NIAC Festival upstate with Phoenix as the resident company. Clara and I are newer resident artists in the company, and we are very formally experimental, and we love to make things that are a little bit strange. So Craig and Elise very graciously hosted for us an incubator program where we workshopped a couple pieces, and Metamorphosis was one of those pieces that was workshopped in an incubator track.
And I have to say, that workshop was so successful. I mean, yes, it was a 20-minute version of what we're creating, but everyone kept emailing us saying, we need the full production. It was so good. When are you doing it again? And I'm not exaggerating. This is not hyperbole. Quite literally, I got messages from everyone that I personally knew had seen it, wanting the whole thing. And so again, thanks to Craig and Elise, we're able to sort of get the funding and devise it and take it further. And so May 7th until May 12th, the entirety of New York City has the opportunity to come see it in the full-scale production, which has gone from a 20-minute version to an 85-ish minute experience, which will be really special for audiences. I also think it's really an exciting show, bug concerns aside, because we really have, I think I agree with Leo, we've created a very safe environment where the bugs aren't physically being interacted with or used. But for anyone who loves to get a little bit of a titillating experience, who love audiobooks, who love physical theater, who love classic stories reimagined, it really is going to be a special event that I hope everyone can come see.
That's so wonderful. Well, Leah, let me ask you, as the co-creator, as a performer, associate artistic director, what has it been like developing this piece, especially as we are about 2 weeks away from opening?
It has been a real treat and a real journey and a really creepy little experience. I would say it was a seed of an idea. Clara and I met at the Live Arts and NIAC Festival. We had worked together a little bit. We really got to know each other at Live Arts and NIAC and developed sort of seeds of ways that we were interested in building new experiential works. And one of the things that we were toying around with was this MP3 experiment, of which I, you know, tribute great, like, New York-based sort of alternative theater creators like Improv Everywhere, with really popularizing the MP3 experiment as a form. And I had long been wanting to toy with something where one of the questions technically of what happens to an experiential theater piece as everyone is listening to different personalized audio tracks. So the audiences are having disparate experiences all in one room together. And as Clara and I are kind of playing with, in all of the work that we get to do together, especially in this incubator context, we are trying to get at new ways of people being together after sort of having to restructure our theater practice in the pandemic times. We are trying to observe very different kinds of co-presence and co-storytelling. And so it's been kind of a brain buster, because we're building a kind of show that formally neither of us have ever attended or been to exactly. We've been to things that are similar. We've been to things that have seeds of ideas that we're kind of exploring, but we're really building the tracks in front of us as we go, trying to understand how do you build an experience that is friendly and to having these totally different ways of experiencing having an audience alongside you, interacting with actors, for that to operate differently. And this playing with audio has been a really interesting challenge. I am myself like a dilettante sound designer. I mix some of the stuff on the OG workshop that we did, which is sort of lives in like the podcast space a little bit. But then as of this new iteration, we have amazingly Nate Edmondson, who's a brilliant Grammy nominated internationally produced sound designer, has come on as a wonderful colleague of ours to really sculpt this audio vision of transporting yourself into another world, having your world, like having your psyche changed and bent by audio. And I think people are like getting to live and embody in that space has been so strange as someone who is so repulsed by and kind of eked out by a lot of what we're exploring, not only insects and insect life, but really at the heart of this piece is struggles against modernity and corporate life and capitalism and its late stages and its punishments of people sort of being pressed to the wire to provide, collect money, serve corporate overlords and things like that is really a lot of what Franz Kafka is writing about. And like those, in addition to bugs, are some of my great fears. So I would say developing this show has been an exposure therapy experience.
Wow, that is amazing. That is really, really fantastic. I'm so happy to hear the journey that it's gone on. Again, sans bugs, but you know, it's just, it's fascinating what you both are creating for these, for audiences. And I want to snowball off of that. And Clara, I want to ask, you know, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences take away from the piece?
Yeah, my core thought is that I hope folk walk away and start to notice one another in life a little bit more. I think fundamental to the story of Metamorphosis and my interpretation is we begin the story with this fella called Gregor Samsa, who is stuck in a bed and he's been living a really mundane, exhausting life. He doesn't have time to eat food that he likes. He's always running to get the train. He's fatigued. He's the best worker that there is at the company, and yet he doesn't never get praised for it. And it's a story. It's a love story. It's a family love story. It's about this man who's desperately trying to make enough money for his sister so she can go to school and play the violin, for his mom and dad as they age, that they've got somewhere nice to live and support. And through this real hardship of this man trying to make ends meet, or maybe do more than make ends meet, he gets turned into a bug and we're never really quite sure why. And the bug obviously becomes a metaphor and allegory and a whole bit of the stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it's a family story about how much we love each other, but how much we forget to love ourselves in the process of desperately trying to be at the mercy of the capitalist system, of a system that tells us we need to work hard every day, and at a system that seems to suggest that efficiency and machines are more important than humans and self-care. And so the question I think the piece is asking overall is, how do you strike that balance in the reality and the world that we live in? And the reason why Leo and I have put this classic play, reimagined it, interpreted into this sleep or meets corporate spa retreat immersive embodying experience is because we want people to experience first the isolation that Gregor goes through in this book. And then, I guess, giving a bit of the ending of the story, how maybe we can all come together and love each other a little more. So the message I want folks to walk away with is, as we walk down the crazy streets of New York City, you know, huff and puff, how can we see each other a little bit more and thereby noticing and loving ourselves a little bit more.
I love that. That is a great idea to be wanting to communicate. Wonderful. Leo, I'm going to ask my last question for the first part to you. And that, of course, is who do you hope have access to Phoenix Theater Ensemble's presentation of Metamorphosis?
Oh, okay. That's an amazing question. Thank you for asking that. At the end of the day, this show is for anyone who feels frustrated or tired or caught in between a rock and a hard place, people who are trying to figure out the next steps of building their lives in the world that they live in. I'm really hopeful that young people who are entering the workforce and trying to decide what kind of workers they're going to be in this country get to see this and get to think a little bit about what they do to themselves when they really take a step into that world. I hope that people who have been working for a long time and working their whole lives and kind of trying to do their best to be the best workers they can be, take a load off with this show and get to, you know, take a step back from having their nose to the grindstone. I hope that literature fans get to see it, people that are interested in classic texts, because there's kind of a real earnest immortality to the story that we're telling that is really lovely and I think engages this very known, very beloved, very distributed text in a way that hopefully will open some new things up in it for people who love it. I hope that people who have never read Gerger Samson's Franz Kafka's Metamorphoses get to see it as well, because I think it'll be a fun exposure. I think it'd be a cool thing. And while it is an adaptation and in some ways very direct, ultimately, I would say doesn't give away and doesn't really try to recapture or sort of cover the greatness of the book, instead being its own original work that exposes people to it. But I think they'll maybe have an even richer experience than going to read the book for the first time if they haven't. So, you know, new people, old timers, young people, older people, people who are looking for something kind of new and different in a night out or a, you know, an afternoon on the town, or kind of interested in like trying a new thing. If you're into like escape rooms or puzzle rooms or ASMR and, you know, any kind of interactive-y type things, I hope all those people come check it out as well.
Our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brains, if you will. And Leo, you are new to us, so I want to start with you and asking our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past? What are just some of your favorites?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Well, I can say a little bit about that. I'm really fond of storytellers that play with form. And I think New York is that in abundance, which is part of the reason why I have so loved getting to, I'm a New York native. I grew up here in Brooklyn and I have been seeing theater in New York for a really long time. And I was kind of weaned on it. So for me, I would say one of my big touch points for the kind of work that I love to see and then love to try to get out and do would probably have to be the New York Neo-Futurists. Their work on The Infinite Wrench is, I mean, if people haven't seen it, get out this Friday, Saturday night and go see it, because every week they've got a new and incredible, complete variety of sort of any kind of performance experience you might want to have that night for 2 minutes. That's work that deeply inspires me and kind of, you know, anytime I'm looking for a creative refresher, I'm always like, let me go see The Infinite Wrench. I'm gonna have 100 new thoughts tonight as a result. I'm also really fond of people who do shakeups of classic texts, people who look at beloved and famous and kind of widely beloved and known properties and say, there's probably something in this that made it so crazy and incendiary and vital that people kept telling the story and telling the story and telling the story. So companies that shake that up, people like Fiasco and Bedlam and Classic Stage in many cases, like really excite me, because I know that we're continuing to iterate and evolve on the kind of ways that we can look at stories we know really well. So that's a good touch point for this piece. And then I think I'd have to reach outward to people in the game and interactive storytelling space. A big touch point for Metamorphosis example is Portal by Valve, is like a really beloved game that has dropped a lot of seeds in this world, and people who are doing interactive storytelling in the Twine community and text-based games and things like that, I think are a lot closer to the theater world than a lot of us kind of immediately, you know, can look at it and notice. But I to me, the line between theater and game is like paper thin. So I'm always thinking about how can a game experience also be a theater experience. So people who are integrating improv and dynamic stuff into their world to look a little bit outward. Maybe those are my headliner influences.
I love that though. That's some fascinating names there and wonderful groups that need support as well. Like you mentioned Fiasco Theater and Bedlam, some great companies that we are huge fans of. And of course the New York Neo Futurists, who we've had on our show talking about the Infinite Wrench. You're absolutely right. It's a fantastic show. Laura, let me ask you, how is it that you came into the performing arts?
I came to the performing arts at the age of birth. I decided to come out of my mother in the middle of a very hippie festival in St. Kilda of Melbourne, Australia. Fire twirlers, all of it happening, people with paper mache hats, New York Easter Parade style. It was a good time, my birth. So I identified as a festival immersive theater artist from day one. At the end of the street of my house was a theater. It was an old church that had been reconstructed. And I remember my mother taking me to see the Scottish play Macbeth by original company that had brought it in, and I was hooked. I wanted to do Lady Macbeth every day. I was 15, I 14 when I saw it. I was like, wow, how do you do that every day? And then I got to come to New York City in 2013 and saw Cherry Jones in the Glass Menagerie, and I wanted to do that every day. I was like, how do I do her job every day? So it's continued ever since. But I was doing all sorts of theater from the age of 12. I was writing scripts, getting them produced at school, raising money, and then using that money to go donate to charities, for various organizations for children's support, for kids who didn't have access to medical support and other aid like that. And then I did a theater piece at the age of 17 that won Best Actress on the Fairfax stage of Melbourne in Australia. And that award, yeah, it got me a lot of other opportunities. And then I've just been working ever since. So
I love that. Listen, that's got to be one of the best origin stories ever right there. It's just, I was born in a festival and boom, I was there. That was me. So, and you know, that is actually a really good lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory? Or Clara, in your case, another of your favorite memories.
I got to see Stephen Burkoff in Australia doing all of his solo show acts, and I just loved it. I just changed the energy in the room in a way that I was like, wow. That's one of my favorite theater memories. Leo, how about you? I'm trying to think of, I mean, there's so many of them, but that was just one.
Yeah, it's a wealth of riches here. I think, oh man, these are people I kind of know personally, so this would be an ego trip for them if they ever hear it. But I was at the Edinburgh Fringe last summer, and I got to see, it was a really crazy like marathon. I was like, I'm not doing anything, I'm just seeing shows. And I saw like 40 shows in 2 weeks. And one of them was The Life Sporadic of Jess Wildgoose, which is a physical theater piece about a woman stockbroker in like at the very, very peak of the Wall Street crash, going through like madcap chaos. And it was four people in briefcases and nothing else. And they summoned, it was like, it's a beautiful fringe show. There's a moment where someone is, no spoilers, hanging off a building. And we were like in a room, everybody was on the ground with briefcases. And I felt my heart beating. And I was like, that girl is hanging off that building. And then I kind of like looked around and was like, we're in a room. These people are holding suitcases. Everything is fine. But just the vividness with which you can summon like the something from nothing. That's like my favorite thing about theater. So I think that moment jumped to mind for me of like, here we are actually having it happen. Yeah.
That is amazing. Those are both fantastic memories. Thank you both so much for sharing those.
Thank you for bringing them up. Woo.
As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Oh, we do. So Leo and I continue to work together. I told Leo a long time ago, we did a show together with Wind in the Willows where I played a rat and Leo played a frog, and there are images of rats jumping on frogs' back. And so I told Leo a long time ago, I will always be the rat on your frog back. That sounds much creepier, especially in the context of bugs. But I should also quickly plug as well that Metamorphosis, which we'd love you all to come see, is absolutely not as scary as we've made it sound. Mm-hmm. And I want to give some kudos as well. Leo mentioned our sound team. So we have the Grammy Award winning Denise Barabarita, who did the editing engineering for us. And then Nate Edmondson, who's done the design for us, who's won multiple Broadway Now, or Broadway World New York Awards. And both of them were giggling a lot in the recording studio when you're doing it. So animals and bugs aside, it's not as scary as it sounds. But Leo and I continue our working rapport with Scandalton Live Friday, May 24th at the Caveat establishment. So I recommend that. That's Dungeons and Dragons meets Regency Affair. It's a live improv Scandalton show with some great comedians, and it's a real hoot. And then I go off to Edinburgh Fringe with Leo's reference to Edinburgh Fringe. I go off with my show Making Marks, directed by the multiple Laurence Olivier award-winning director, Guy Masterson. So I'll be in Edinburgh this summer doing that.
Amazing. That is amazing. Leo, what about you?
I'll put a couple things. Clara already said Scandalton Live, but I'll double it. Everybody come see us create an original Jane Austen using your audience suggestions before your very eyes. Following that, I run the ensemble Firebird Project, or Firebird NYC. We've got a couple shows in the works. We just wrapped up our New York run of Boy My Greatness, which is a contemporary play about the boys who played Shakespeare's women in 1606, living at the Globe, having backstage dramas and tragedies of all the coming of age varieties. That is returning for a small regional tour throughout and around the tri-state area. We're going to be in upstate New York and I think Western Mass maybe, but a couple of places in September, October. That's the soonest thing. Or if you're at Edinburgh Fringe, do check out Firebird's upcoming two-hander play, If I Live Until I Be a Man, which covers the experience of the two boy princes trapped by Richard III in the tower, living out their last days in the tower and playing war games and playing pretend and exploring what it means to be a child coming of age in a world of perpetual warfare. It's a really beautiful, really poignant, but also really hilarious and loud and raucous piece. So you can catch Sophie Falvey and Ray Bell in If I Live Until I Be a Man at Edinburgh Fringe in August.
Is amazing. Some wonderful stuff that both of you have coming on the pipeline that we need to keep tabs on, and a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Metamorphosis or about either of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
They can jump onto Phoenix Theater RE ensemble.org /metamorphosis. We'd love to have your eyes on that page. And I'm also at clarafrancesca.com, and my handles are at CLAR_ESCA, Claresca. I always wanted to do like a Spanish flamenco gesture when I do
that. It's beautiful. I'm at Who's Leo Lion on pretty much anything, Instagram, TikTok. My website is leolion.com. Like Clara said, Phoenix Theater with an R-E, ensemble.org. You can also hit the short link, which is a bit.ly/meta NYC. Takes you straight to the Metamorphosis ticket page if you're just trying to go and get your ticket right now. And yeah, we really hope that people come on out and be cured of their inner bugs. If you have any inner bugs, which we almost guarantee that you have one, we're going to help you get rid of it.
Fantastic. Well, Leo, Clara, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me. We're sharing this unique but fun story that does not involve real bugs, which I guess is a perk. But no, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me and introducing us to Phoenix Theater Ensemble, as well as this great new work both of you have created. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's so good to see you again, Andrew. I love your energy. So thanks for having us. It's really good to see you.
And likewise, great to meet you, Andrew. Thank you for having us. And I'm so excited to listen to more of the show now.
Oh, thank you. My guests today have been the creator, performer, and resident artist, Clara Francesca, and the creator, performer, and associate artistic director, Leo Lion. Both of these wonderful artists are part of Phoenix Theater Ensemble's presentation of Metamorphosis, happening May 7th through the 12th at Kafka Tech at Studio Exhibit Photography Studios, which is at 62 Orchard Street on the second floor. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting phoenixtheaterensemble.org. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But you are going to want to make sure to head on out to 62 Orchard Street, get those tickets at phoenixtheaterensemble.org, and make sure that you see this very fun and funny, powerful piece that Clara and Leo have created, Metamorphosis, playing May 7th through the 12th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.